Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a three-hour edition of Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together today here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. has the day off, as do the Padres. They are in Pittsburgh. They will begin a series with the Pirates tomorrow. That'll be a, 3:30 start tomorrow, Scrape? You told me earlier, and so
it's 6:40 Eastern, so 3:40.
3:40. So we'll have a very short program tomorrow. So we better get, you know, the in-depth stuff out of the way today. I understand that Tyler Wade will be on our show tomorrow as our Friar Friday interview. One of the guys that, you know, has done a terrific job. I mean, you look at Tyler Wade, this guy. They were that close to losing him. And Ben brought it up on the roundtable today, and you'll hear the entire roundtable program, commercial-free hour of Padre talk, after we're done at 5 o'clock today. But Ben pointed something out that I hadn't thought about it in this way. But they basically nearly parted with Tyler Wade in order to keep Yuli Gurriel. And you know, because they had to keep Yuli Gurriel, they, by all rights, they should have lost Tyler Wade. You remember when he didn't have any options left to go back to the minor leagues. He was DFA'd by the Padres. That meant that every team in Major League Baseball had a chance to claim him. And I remember you asked me, what do I think will happen with Tyler Wade? And I said, I think he'll get claimed. I mean, what are you going to tell me? The Rockies have 25 players that are better than him? The White Sox? I mean, another team, many other teams. But nobody picked him up, fortunately, for the Padres. And he decided to stay in this organization. And then when the injuries hit, he came up. I'll tell you what, he's not going back. It'd be stupid to send him back down. He's been so valuable. He's playing a really good center. People are saying like he's playing a great center field. He's playing fine in center field. I haven't seen any Willie Mays plays yet. But no, he's doing, you know, he's holding his own out there. He's not a liability out there. And, you know, he started batting ninth, then eighth, now seventh. And he's contributing key hits and walks and getting on base and, you know, doing some nice things. In fact, if everybody that came up from AAA had done what Tyler Wade did, I don't think the team would have lost 8 of 11 games and struggled to score a run for, 30 innings? You know, I mean, the guys that came up, I said most of them are still up, but Oscar Gonzalez, Tirso Ornelas, et cetera, Connor Joe, you know, these guys kind of look like they belonged in AAA, to be honest with you. But Tyler Wade's a big leaguer, and, I think the Padres, they caught a break on that one. So he'll be on the show tomorrow. Padres end the month of April in pretty good shape, though. You know, all things considered, 19-11. That is still the third best record in all of baseball, right? There's only two teams ahead of them. And one of those two teams, the Mets, lost earlier today. So, the Dodgers are, got the best record, but only by a game and a half. But this is a key road trip coming up, and I'll tell you why. And again, I'm quoting Ben. I don't know. I better start listening to that morning show a little more often, Scraby.
It's comes a good up. One.
Yeah, it's a good show. But he was right to point out the Dodgers on this road trip for them. We know the Padres are going to the Pirates, Yankees, Rockies. Well, the Dodgers are going to Atlanta, and then they get Miami again. And they just swept Miami away, and you know they're going to sweep them away again next week. So the point being, if you don't have a good road trip here, you're going to fall 4 or 5 games back because, you know, the Dodgers are not going to, you know, muck up a bunch of games against second division teams. Now, the Braves are playing better, but they still don't have Strider. They still don't have Acuna. They're still, you know, a shell of what they could be. So you're unlikely, let's put it that way, you're unlikely to get a lot of help over the next week and a half from the Dodgers losing, which means that you need to win. If, you know, you want to keep pace, and I do want to keep pace. I know a lot of people say, well, let's just cede the division to the Dodgers. No, you cede the division to the Dodgers, right? I mean, I'm playing the season out, and let's see how it goes.
I was looking at the schedule because you're saying it's kind of weird that the Dodgers are going to be playing the Marlins in back-to-back weeks. Well, if you look in September, the Padres are going to be playing 6 games against, or I'm sorry, 7 games against the Rockies between like September 5th and September 13th or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's working in the Padres' favor right there.
Right. Look, everybody's got to play everybody. So I'm not trying to say that the Dodgers have a lucky schedule, this, that, and the other. What I'm pointing out is that for right now, you know, it behooves the Padres to have a good road trip.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think the Dodgers are going to have a good road trip. And that's all I'm trying to say there.
No, they have to have a good road
trip. It gets underway tomorrow. Another thing that we talked about on the roundtable, and you're going to, like I said, you'll hear the whole thing between 5 and 6, commercial free. Should the Padres keep Nick Pivetta on schedule in terms of, you know, days between starts and pitch him Sunday in Pittsburgh? Here's why I ask. Because if they pitch him Sunday in Pittsburgh, then Michael King could go Monday in New York against the Yankees on regular rest. But on Tuesday, it would be Dylan Cease's turn. The problem is he would only be on 3 days rest. And there's absolutely no way you're going to pitch Dylan Cease on 3 days rest under any circumstances, maybe ever again. After, you know, how that backfired on the Padres in the NL playoff last year against the Dodgers, right? Yeah. Remember, that was the big decision.
That was.
And they went with Cease and for the knockout blow in game 4, and it didn't work. So he's not going to pitch on 3 days rest Tuesday. So if you don't pitch, if you do pitch Pivetta Sunday, you'll pitch King Monday. You either have to call up Kyle Hart, you have to call up Stephen Kolek, whoever it is you want, or you have to go with a bullpen day in Yankee Stadium. Now, I don't think that's a terrible thing. Look, the Padres' bullpen is great, but
you don't want to tax them.
Well, I get worried about that in bullpen days, you know, because guys are pitching in different roles. They're coming into the game in the first inning, in the third inning. I'm not a huge fan of bullpen days. I know it works for the Dodgers. But then again, the Dodgers are good. You know, I mean, their bullpen has plenty of support, you know, to go out there and relax. I would rather, if I'm going to have a bullpen day, I'd rather do it Sunday in Pittsburgh and then move Pivetta to Monday, King to Tuesday, Cease on regular rest Wednesday. The 3 games against the Yankees, I've got my 3 best pitchers.
I think that's
what I'd like to do.
You know, it kind of stole my thunder from
Sorry.
No, not you. But
I don't mean to.
But the idea, because I didn't even think you guys were even in the same realm. I was going to say on the Scraby Show tonight, you got to move Pivetta back, get him out of the Pirates series,
right.
Put him into the series that's actually, you know, with a winning team that you're playing. And it just sounds so much better to have King, Pivetta, and Cease.
Or it would be Pivetta, King, Cease.
Pivetta,
yes,
King,
right.
Cease. But yes,
yeah,
either combination. Like, those 3 guys, I want to see at Yankee Stadium.
Look, you can win 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh, I think, with Vasquez going and Cease going, or Cease first, Vasquez second, and a bullpen day. I think you can still get 2 out of 3. And I think if you go Pivetta, King, and Cease in New York, I think you could get two out of three there with that pitching rotation.
And then you and I are going to pitch when they go to Colorado.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do when you get to Colorado. And I know people will get, you know, Woodsy's scared to death of the Rockies. And I look, I get it. The Rockies have been trouble for the Padres. And Coors Field has always been trouble. But look, this Rocky team has played 10 series this year. They've been swept five times. And that includes at Coors Field a couple times. So the Rockies are so bad, you ought to be able to win all three just by showing up. So, look, we'll see what they do on the road trip. I'm not suggesting to Mike Schilt. He certainly wouldn't listen to me anyway.
Your line to him isn't working right now, so that's unfortunate.
It never works. You know,
it never works.
Did you know how the bat phone worked in the, you know, in the famous show,
yeah,
Batman?
Of course.
All right. In that show, the mayor of Gotham City just had to pick up the phone.
Right,
he didn't
have to
dial anything.
Went right to
him. Right. You picked up and then the hotline blinked and Alfred the butler got it and, you know, handed it over. Well, that's how mine's supposed to work with Mike Schilt. Only on my end, I pick it up. Nothing happens
on
the other end.
The Chris Ella phone's ringing again.
The Mike Schilt's Alfred the Butler is on not on duty. So yeah, no, Mike's going to do what he does. And there's something to be said also for not switching anything around in overreaction to your opponents.
That's
true. It's only April. It's only May. Go out there and just pitch what you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. That's something they can think about. It's something we thought about. We talked about it on the roundtable today. You'll get all of the roundtable stuff, like I said, between 5 and 6. Our program today will focus much on the Padres and the 19-11 start. I have some numbers about the first 30 games that I think are worthwhile, interesting, maybe even a little stunning. Through 30 games. Yeah. I'll go over them in the next segment. I'm going to give a good segment on this. I want everybody to listen to this stuff and see where we go with it moving forward.
All right.
So that's going to come up here. Also on the show today, Nick Bacotti, who is a play-by-play announcer for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. We have got to figure out what's wrong with the SDFC.
It's not been very good lately.
Well, they've lost three in a row. So, you know.
Sky's falling.
Sky's falling. The soccer fans are livid. Can't you tell? They're they're running up and down the streets. But no, the team's fallen back to 500, which is still acceptable to me in your expansion season.
Yeah,
10 games into it.
I don't think anybody expected them to win.
Right, they're 4-4-2 or 4-2-4, however you want to look at it. We'll talk about the MLS. Nate Bacotti will be our soccer guest today. We have a little Daily Gambit. We have a little Chris versus the Fans, we have a big five, and we have to blow up the Lakers season because they laid a big fat egg last night in a game that they had to win. We'll discuss
and guess
that.
What? Tony's not here to talk.
Brad,
about
he's
it.
Never here.
He's never here when we
he's
get to
never
trash
here.
The Lakers.
He's never here when I could trash the Lakers. But you know what? They were so embarrassing last night that I may hang on to some of this stuff for when he does get here.
Okay.
There's no excuse for losing that game. And playing the way they did, other than the fact that, I guess what, they're just not very good. So we'll talk about what happened to the Lakers last night. It's a big night in the NBA playoffs. You got two teams trying to stay alive. In the Stanley Cup, you got four teams trying to stay alive. So we'll run through all of that. It's a good day to be with us. Happy Thursday to you from Gwen and
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris. Hey, welcome back. 2:17 is the time. Crisello, Matt Scraby today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. taking a much-deserved rest day. Along with the Padres, he's in Pittsburgh, but Tony wasn't feeling 100% this week.
No, he's been struggling.
He's been battling a little bit and working through it. As you know, he's been on all the broadcasts, but he decided a day off would be good for him to try to get back on the beam. So we will soldier on without Tony today. Couple of quick notes on baseball from today. Juan Soto hit a home run.
He did.
So I guess they can leave him alone for like a half an hour in New York.
It was his first Citi Field, right, as a Met?
I don't know. I haven't done that
It was his first Citi Field as a Met.
His first Citi Field home run at home.
Yes.
Okay, so that's that is noteworthy. I did not know that that was...
I mean,
was...
it took 30-something games for him to get there.
Well, they haven't played 30 home games.
True.
Right?
That is a good point.
Yeah, thank you.
But you would think that in, like, let's say they've played 14 home games. You would think that he would hit one home run in 14 games.
Well, he didn't. It was only his fourth home run of the season, first in his home park. So, anyway, it didn't help. Mets lost to Arizona. And, I mean, you know, this is like the same old thing. The NL West keeps on rolling and rolling. The Diamondbacks are in fourth place with a 17-14 record, which is quite tidy, to be honest with you.
Zach Gallen looked great today.
Right. The milkman delivering a little bit. So that was a victory for Arizona. The other couple of notes. Cincinnati Reds bullpen. Now, you pointed this one out to me. Against the Cardinals today, the Reds bullpen, 5 perfect innings.
Mm-hmm.
15 up, 15 down. Apparently, that gives Reds relievers, what'd you say? 35 consecutive batters retired?
Yeah, I think that's what they
said.
For
the bullpen?
Yeah, 35.
That's a perfect and then some.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. 35 in a row have been retired by the Reds bullpen. That, you know who the closer is for the Reds now,
well,
don't
they
you?
Just put him in AAA.
No, not him. He's not the closer.
No.
Diaz got sent to the AAA.
It's Taylor Rogers.
No.
Or Tyler Rogers.
No.
Who is it?
It's Emilio Pagan.
I didn't see him today.
He didn't need to pitch today.
Right.
They were up by 8 runs.
Good point.
My point is the closer for the Reds is currently Emilio Pagan, and he's pitching, obviously, as that stat would indicate. He's been lights out.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Emilio because he's one of the better guys we came across.
Remember Pagan Power?
Pagan Power. He tried to will us to the playoffs that year that the season got away. Was it 2021?
One.
Yeah. But Emilio never pitched this well for us. So no. I'm always, you know, a little frustrated when that happens. It does happen. Certain guys, you know, get hot with different franchises. Emilio Pagan's been, before and after the Padres, a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah.
But with the Padres, he got hit pretty good. Anyway, he's their closer. 35 in a row by the Reds bullpen. That is a great streak. The other streak to talk about, Bobby Witt Jr. had a hit or two today. And he's currently working on a 22-game hitting streak, which is noteworthy when you consider that in the last 25 years, quarter of a century worth of baseball, only 11 guys have got to 30. That's not many.
When do you start thinking, okay,
about now I start looking at it. He's halfway to Pete Rose, so I start kind of looking at it now. I mean, like, this will be noteworthy to me to check for a week. And then if he gets to 30, then you start really following, you know, I think. But
Bobby Witt Jr. can get a hit every day.
He does seem like the kind of guy that could put something together. I was looking just for fun. The longest hit streak in the history of the Royals. And just to go,
is it George Brett?
It is not. You would think, right? You would think it is. But just to go show you how hitting streaks can be a little weird, the longest one for the Royals ever, Whit Merrifield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 31 in a row.
Ooh, that's
He's
a
got
lot.
The Royals record. The Padre record, I think a lot of people know by now, because we've mentioned it many times, is not Tony. It's Benito Santiago with 34 in his rookie season of 1987. And look, I mean, it's about the only offensive record in the books that Tony Gwynn doesn't hold for the Padres. So anyway, a couple of notes there. I do have all these Padre numbers, and I want to give them to you, but I want to delve into them. So I'm going to save it to the next segment.
Okay.
I'm going to take this segment to rip apart the Lakers. It was embarrassing to me that a team with two future Hall of Famers on the roster could come out in a game where you're facing elimination and just be dead as a doornail. They were blown out of the game almost in the first quarter. Minnesota was up by 15 in the first quarter. The Lakers came out so unprepared. The Lakers' strategy in the game defensively was terrible, and it wasn't working, and they never changed it. So if you want to put this, some of it on the,
you can't, because he won't answer your questions.
Right, I know. He doesn't want to admit that he's inexperienced. But if you want to put some of it on J.J. Redick, if a defense is getting shredded, you have to stop doing it. I
said you might want to change up your strategy.
Well, at halftime, something. Look, the Lakers decided they weren't going to play a center, okay? So Rudy Gobert was a half foot taller than every player on the floor. That's okay, unless your strategy is to not guard him. And what they did is they double-teamed every time Ant-Man got the ball. Well, Ant-Man just bounced past it to somebody else, and then they found Rudy Gobert under the basket for a dunk. Rudy Gobert should never have 27 points and 24 rebounds.
I thought about that after the game.
I mean,
he's not an offensive guy.
He's not very good. But he is if he's allowed an uncontested dunk almost every time down the floor.
Yeah, an NBA player is going to make that shot.
So those are a couple things. Those are the most notable ones. But there's other things. Minnesota set an NBA playoff record last night by missing 40 three-point shots. They didn't miss 20. They didn't miss 30. They missed 40.
I didn't realize it was that much.
They shot 7 for 47.
Oh.
They missed 18 in a row in the second half and still won the game.
I did not realize that.
And here's why they won the game. Because Gobert was not guarded, and once Luka got hurt, was gimpy, and he was. So I'm not, I can't totally blame Luka here. He got hurt right at the end of the first half on that foul.
Yeah.
But you cannot, once we see that Julius Randle is taking him to the hole every time in the fourth quarter, you have to switch it. You have to do something different. Luka couldn't stay with him. I don't blame Luka. He was hurt. Randle is too good of a player to just let walk to the rim. And the analytics of the game last night showed that Luka Doncic got blown by on defense. You know what that means, right? You're guarding a guy and he goes right by you to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
He got blown by than any other player in defense in the playoffs this year. So, I mean, he couldn't guard him. And again, the Lakers made no changes and Randle sealed the game by going to the rim time and time again. The coaching was abysmal. The effort was horrible. And two Hall of Fame players were both, predictably, completely out of gas by the end of the game. And that goes back to how many minutes LeBron and Luka had to play in this series, because this Laker team, as great as it seemed when they got Luka Doncic, has no depth. And I mean none. They got outscored in the series by 80 points, the Minnesota bench versus the Laker bench. That's it. So, look, Luka, LeBron, wonderful pairing, greatest trade ever made in NBA history. Not yet.
I don't... This goes back to the conversation we had about the Padres catchers this morning.
All right.
Were people expecting them to win the NBA title? I don't think that people were expecting the Lakers. I think that fans would think that they can get there, but I don't think that we ever thought that they were in line for the NBA title this year.
Funny that you should bring that up.
Oh, the bettors, I know.
Because the minute that the trade went from Luka to the Lakers, the odds went from 40 to 1 to 13-1, and people have lost it all on the Lakers.
Well, that's their bets, fault.
Well, that is, but I'm answering your claim that nobody thought they would win at all. Apparently, a lot of people thought they were going to win it all because people were betting everything they had. The Lakers were the second choice in the betting to get to the finals behind OKC, and they won one game. So, look, be critical. Look, nobody's going to be critical of the Lakers for getting Luka, but everyone is going to destroy the GM of Dallas for his move here. Again, we don't know what could have happened with Dallas if they had Kyrie and Anthony Davis stayed healthy. We just don't know. But we know what happened with the Lakers, and it wasn't pretty. It just wasn't pretty. And LeBron's going to get another year older. Luka's going to be great, but it's not going to be too much longer before LeBron has to move on. The Lakers have no interior presence at all, and Minnesota completely blew it away.
Minnesota was the better team.
Yeah, not even close.
I'm going to talk to you about LeBron and the Big Five because he might be the only person in NBA history to play 23 years in the NBA.
Right.
And he has to play next year for that to happen. But it's like, how much do you think he's got left?
I don't know how much he wants to have left. After last night, he needs some time to think. He said so much. Here's the thing, if you're the Lakers. This is LeBron's seventh year with the Lakers. Finish of seventh year.
Time flies.
No kidding. I know. I saw the
he
same
thing.
He was
just playing for the Cavs, I thought.
In seven seasons, he's been either not in the playoffs or out in the first round five times. That's not too impressive if you're the greatest player in the history of the sport.
I knew that's where you
were
going.
Which a lot of people want to say.
I cannot stand that argument anymore. I'm so done with the who's better argument because we'll never come to an answer.
Well, I think it's getting closer to an answer with stats like that.
But Jordan never played at the high level that LeBron's playing when he was. Jordan was bad when he
Jordan is pretty much retired by now. He decided to call it. And we could go to Jordan's final season with Washington. I believe he had a couple of 40-point games in there. But you're right. LeBron's better at this age than Jordan was at this age. But that's the end of the conversation. We got to get a break, Scraby, or you'll get mad. Padre numbers when we come back. Interesting and eye-opening stuff to share with you.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Frozen Ropes San Diego. Hey, parents! Here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our Baseball Summer League is the perfect fit for your player. Starting June 16th through August 17th, Summer League includes 8 practices, 8 games. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. That's sandiegofrozenropes.com. Also, tomorrow, tune in to the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on Bennett Woods, the Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. So don't miss 9 a.m. tomorrow on Bennett Woods with the Skippa.
Yeah, we'll see where they get in terms of trying to ask him if he's thinking about moving Pivetta back.
I know I tune in because I want to know what questions they asked.
I think they will ask that.
They have to.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, have you thought? Oh, yeah, to just say, look, is it something you're thinking about? Moving Pivetta back to the Yankee series.
And he'll never answer.
So that you got a bullpen day against Pittsburgh rather than against the Yankees. Or have you thought about what you're going to do with the number 5 spot? That's all. That's a fair question.
Fair. Yes, definitely
and
fair.
Mike Schilt's fair answer will be, we've kicked it around a little bit, but we don't, you know.
Like every other coach in every
other
sport.
Here's the funniest thing, though. He knows exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, he's got it planned out. He probably knows what's going to happen 2 weeks from now.
Mike Schilt is not one of the better managers in baseball because this kind of stuff kind of creeps up on him. He doesn't really, go over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's great. You and I, we're in the same boat here.
We know.
All right. We got some of these crazy numbers. Padres have played 30 games. 1 month. Well, it's not month. It's more than a month. They started in, what was it, March 23rd,
24th? 27th.
Okay. So 30 games are in. So I think that's it's a good sample size. Not the best sample size. I mean, it's 1/6 of the season.
That's a good sample size. Tony, you and Tony have taught me that it's around 100 at-bats. You could start taking numbers and applying it to the season.
Well, we're clearly past that.
Yes.
All right, here's some numbers. I'm going to give you the really strange one first, That doesn't mean that much, but it's just weird.
Okay.
And then I'll give you some numbers that actually are applying to their current record.
Okay.
Here's the first part, and I've touched on this a little bit within the last couple of weeks, but I haven't gone this deep into it. Through yesterday's games, I haven't looked at today's scores yet, but it's okay, everything through yesterday. In Major League Baseball, teams with runners at first and second base have hit 60 three-run homers.
Oh, wow.
6-0. The Padres have had 68 plate appearances with runners at first and second. They've hit none. With runners at first and third, teams in baseball have hit 28 home runs. Padres have had 29 plate appearances. They've hit none. Runners at second and third, teams throughout baseball have hit 23 homers. The Padres with 22 plate appearances have hit none. If you add all that up, there have been 111 three-run homers hit in baseball this year. 111.
That's a lot.
The Red Sox have hit 12 three-run homers themselves. The Padres, in 109 plate appearances, have none. They also only have four doubles with two guys on. No triples, no homers. What I'm getting to here is that they haven't had that big hit, you know, to, you know, bring a few runs in.
They're still winning.
Right. This is a good part of it. Now let's go to bases loaded, where there's not two on, but there's three on. With the bases loaded this year, there have been 24 grand slams hit in baseball so far. The Diamondbacks have hit four.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Slam Arizona. Yeah. Amazona.
Yeah. The Padres have had 28 plate appearances. So this includes walks, but, you know, most at-bats plus walks. 28 plate appearances. Padres have hit none. There is no Slam Diego yet.
No.
This year. And with the bases loaded in those 28 plate appearances, just one double. One extra base hit.
Which, again, a double would clear the bases, right?
Most likely, yes. Unless it's a ground rule double, then two would come in. But yes, you're right. They haven't had that one where, you know, everybody comes running home. So let's just total this all up. With two or more runners on base this year, baseball teams 135 home runs in those situations. The Padres are zip for 137 tries.
I don't even know what to make of that.
That is just weird. I don't either, but I think what you said is a pretty solid way to look at it, actually. They're still winning without that happening.
Yeah.
And that is actually a good thing, because I've got to believe that it's going to start happening eventually, just by happenstance. You know, somebody's going to hit a three-run homer. I mean, we're, you know, going into May now.
Yeah.
So, and a three-run homer is a game-winning type of play. A grand slam is a game-winning type of play. Again, you can lose a game,
yes,
and hit a three-run homer, but it's a lot harder to lose a game when you get a three-run homer or a grand slam in that game.
Now, do you think, here's what also comes to mind. Do you think that the Padres' approach this year has created it so
I think
that
the
they're
approach
not
is,
hitting three-run homers?
I think the approach is part of it, and I think that's a very good point by you.
I'm on it today, Chris.
Well, you know, we're 2:41. It's 2:41. You still have time to turn it around.
Plenty of time.
Yes, but so far. No, Victor Rodriguez and the Padres, you know, hitting philosophy is line drives into the gaps,
yep,
especially at Petco Park. So I think that that has something to do with it. One last thing on this. The Padres are the only team in baseball that doesn't have a three-run homer. Everybody's got at least one.
Even the Rockies?
The Rockies, I think, have a grand slam. But they have one of those.
Wow.
Yeah, even the Rockies
have done
it. You can't
be pacing behind the Rockies.
They are. And total, for our knowledge, the Padres have hit 26 home runs this year.
Yes, 26.
19 solo, 7 with one man on. And they're still 19-11 despite that weird stat. I think that's pretty impressive, honestly.
That's
and I
really
think you're bringing
impressive.
Up a good point. But something to just, I don't know. I like this kind of stuff. I don't like the way it happened to the Padres. But this kind of stuff is fun to me. Because baseball can be so weird sometimes. for no real apparent reason.
I think
that's what category this falls under. 135 such occurrences this year, and none by the Padres. That is crazy.
Well,
to me.
And I think we also have to keep in mind, as we have all season, that Jackson Merrill's not been in the lineup, Jake Cronenworth's not been in the lineup, and I know those two guys would have hit a few home runs. Jackson Merrill definitely would have hit a few home runs. So, and Manny hasn't been hitting home runs. Xander Bogaerts just got his first home run the other day.
Manny's still trailing Luis Arraez.
He's going to have to catch up someday.
Manny is, that's got to drive him a little crazy, by the way. Padres with their 26 home runs, to give you an idea where that, it's down very near the bottom. There's a couple teams beneath them. The Yankees have 53.
Yeah, the Yankees are ridiculous.
The Dodgers have 50. So you're trying to keep up with a team in the Dodgers that has twice as many home runs as you do.
But the Dodgers have, like, what, one less loss than the Padres?
Yeah, you're only a game and a half behind them.
So it doesn't matter if you're hitting 50 home runs if you can't pitch?
The Dodgers can pitch, although most guys are hurt. Anyway, that's that crazy part. We'll just hope, you know, keep it in the back of our minds. When somebody finally hits a three-run homer, we can, you know, we can celebrate.
Everybody's going to think of you, Chris.
I know
I will.
Thank you.
It's the first thing I'll think of.
Thank you. All right, now here's some numbers that I think are contributing to wins and losses directly. And this isn't going to be earth-shattering information. But I think once you hear it, you're going to be like, holy cow. I did not realize it was that drastic of a difference. And here it is.
Hit me with it.
It has to do a little with the fact you haven't hit a three-run homer.
Okay.
And it has to do with the fact you haven't hit a grand slam. Without those two things, the only way you can score runs is to get hits with runners in scoring position. You have to, right?
Yep.
If you're not doing that, then you're not going to be scoring much because you're not getting the long ball with men on base. Three, you know, even a two-run homer, you've only done that seven times. So here's how drastic it is. In the Padres' 19 wins this year, they are 51 for 169, a .302 batting average with runners in scoring position in their 19 wins. Here it is, though. In their 11 losses, 9 for 71. That is .127 batting average. The difference between winning and losing is .302 to .127.
So how can they find the middle and win some of those games that they've been losing?
I don't know. Again, this is another crazy statistic, runners in scoring position. How do you quantify it? Are you going to honestly tell me that these guys are, you know, not clutch? You know, there's so many things that go into it. I think there's a certain amount of luck to having a streak where you get runners in scoring position. The two games against the Giants, they were 9 for 17.
That's over 50%.
Yes, of course they won those two games, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, prior to that, they were couldn't get a hit with runners in scoring position, why they lost a lot of games. I just think it's interesting that in this day of analytics and StatCast and Eno Saris and every, you know, I'm not poking fun at Eno. He's a brilliant baseball guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in all of these guys that are brilliant baseball guys and statisticians and computer geeks, and everything that goes in, you know, what are some of the other pages you like? FanGraphs.
Yeah, FanGraphs, BAPIP, all that
look
stuff.
Look at all this stuff.
Sabermetrics.
Yeah, there you go. It comes down to runners in scoring position, which is, you don't need a computer to figure that out at all. It's right there in front of your eyes every game. And when they're good at it, they win. And when they're bad at it, they lose. Period. End of story.
So as someone who is sitting outside of the organization, I guess if I'm Mike Schill, I'm going to task someone with finding why we're doing this.
I don't know what you can do other than tell your guys, hey, we got to get these hits. Look, they're trying. We know that. It's weird. Starting pitching also is a big deal. And it's bigger than I think we think. In the wins, starters are 13-0 with a 2.33 ERA, which is brilliant. In the losses, starters are 0-9 with a 6.61.
So that means getting, that they're giving up the lead early.
Right. You got to get your starting pitching has to be good. Every team knows that, but that's putting it in numbers for you. The starter's ERA is 4.5 runs higher when they lose as it is when they win. The bullpen is brilliant either way. 1.34 in the wins, 2.40 in the losses. So you can never blame the bullpen for anything so far this season.
Yeah,
anyway, there's some numbers
amazing to
chew on. People say, Chris, what do you do in your spare time?
There it is.
There it is. This is what I do. I look the stuff up.
You know, I got to say that we talked so much about runners in scoring position a couple years ago that this doesn't seem like it's that bad.
Right, but it does. Are you a little surprised, though, at the 302 versus 127?
It shouldn't change that much. I get why those numbers are so different because you're losing the game and you're not driving runs in.
Right.
But what changes from day to day?
Yeah.
Like,
is it
just circumstances where you got a pitcher on the mound, the right guy facing the
right
guy?
I'm pretty sure Tony would tell me, just, you know, live with it. It's baseball. But I agree with you. I think if I brought this to Mike Shildt, right, this sheet, and showed him this, first of all, he might already know it. But if he doesn't know it, I think so that he doesn't make me feel like I'm having an effect on him, he'd crumble it up and throw it away. But when I left the room, I think he'd fish it out of the trash can.
Possibly.
And he'd look at it, and he'd go, is there anything we can do, you know, to improve this or change it and get this, you know, on our side? I don't know that there is, because I don't have any suggestions for it right now.
So we can't say that they're swinging for the fences, because they're not. They're hitting balls that are being given to them by pitching.
We're very clear on that. Yes, they're hitting line drives. They're going left to right.
Was it Paul today in the roundtable that said the Chihuahuas on the same team, like they basically had a AAA team? Part of it?
Yeah, but you know the AAA guys also hit 302 in the wins. Anyway, all right, we'll keep our eye on that. Yes, what's the question? And I'll see what I can do.
Yuli,
with it.
He's not listening.
Yuli's not listening.
No. I wonder if there's a stat for a percent of time we score a runner from third base when we have zero or one out.
That would help. There is.
Okay.
But you got to find it on StatCast or FanGraphs.
So it's runner on third.
With less than two outs.
With less than two outs.
Right.
Let me try to figure this
out.
Or
I'll try to, you know what, I'll try to find that as well. But I don't, it would be, what is interesting in runners in third, because what they're saying is we don't do it enough. You'd like to believe that it's 100% of the time you get a runner in from third with less than two outs, but you just don't. And in baseball, I bet it's 50 to 60% of the time that it happens. Why? Because throughout baseball, teams strike out a lot now, right?
Yeah.
And if you strike out a lot,
doesn't do anything.
You don't get it. Nah, I can't find it.
I'm not finding it quick
enough.
No,
I'm on MLB.com, and I called up team hitting and runners on third with less than two outs, and it says no results. Wait, what am I doing wrong?
Runners on. Wait.
You get
it? Okay. Here we
you
go.
You got it. Okay.
Less than is this way, right?
Less than. You know how you tell less
you
than?
You eat the bigger.
No.
When I was in school, they always taught me.
They taught you wrong. Here's
to
how
eat.
You know. No, here's how you know. Less than is in the favor in the shape of an L, which stands for the word less.
Okay.
So if it's in the shape, if it's a backward L, then it's the.
I would have gone to Harvard if I learned it that way.
Right. I know. See, I'm a helpful. I'm a helpful. Helpful on this stuff.
They're on third. Runners on third, less than two outs. They have 52 at bats, and they are hitting .269.
How many runs have they scored?
33 RBIs.
33 RBIs, and how many at bats?
52.
That's pretty good. It's over 60%.
There's 36 runs that have scored.
Okay. So you've got 36 runs in and 52 at-bats.
If you go to on third with two outs, .236 with 19 runs scored.
Yeah, well, that's third. Yeah, we're looking for runners on third less than two outs. That's what you came up with there. So they're a little better than 60%. Where do they rank against everybody else?
Ooh, I have to
You'd have to look
that
part
way.
Up. Yeah, for whatever reason, MLB.com is not allowing me to sort by runners on third with less than two outs. I don't know why. It's a category here, but it's not showing up. So,
oh, yeah, it is a category.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not letting me read it to you, but I don't have it. But go to MLB.com. Where'd you go? StatCast or somewhere?
I went to Baseball Reference. Yeah. But let me – I'm going to see if I
we'll
can
We'll keep
get
looking
this.
To try to get more info, but it's probably around 60%, which I think is pretty close to the league average. But I know what you're saying. There's a frustration that goes with getting a runner to third and not getting him in with less than two outs.
Yeah, because it's just like they're so close. They're right there.
Well, you don't even have to get a hit. That's the thing. A fly ball will get him in.
I'm getting the same thing. No results.
No results. Yep. Yeah. So for some reason, MLB.com's not allowing
Nobody
us.
Is hit with a runner on third and less than two outs this year. That's what it's telling me, Chris.
Right. It hasn't happened yet in
that's
baseball.
That's why it says no results.
There's no results for that at all. All right, there's some
good
numbers. Well, you know, look, I'm not a numbers geek like a lot of people.
You're better numbers
but I'm a
geek
little,
than I am.
I'm a little different kind of numbers geek.
I agree
so these
with
are
that.
The things that I came up with. We'll see what happens going forward as far as, you know.
Now I'm really curious about this, and I'm trying to
the
find
runners
it.
In third with two outs?
Yes.
Well, you did. You came up with it. 52
but I
at bats,
see what it,
and they've scored
the
36 runs.
I want to see
Oh, you
want to
see what the rest of the league is doing.
Yep.
All right.
We'll looking.
We'll try to get that for everybody. I think we're coming up on a break. We're really close to the top of the hour. We have our Daily Gambit coming up. There are some big games tonight in NBA. The Pistons and the Clippers will be looking to stay alive in Game 6. In the Stanley Cup tonight, Ottawa, Minnesota, Colorado, and the Kings, all looking to stay alive tonight. Game 6 is all over the place. We'll take a look at them when we come back on Gwen and Chris.